You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
These are the times that try men's souls. In the course of our nation's history, the people have rallied bravely whenever the rights of men have been threatened. Today, a new crisis has arisen. Citizens, hear me out. This could happen to you.
People think I'm controversial, but the truth is, I'm a nice guy.
You know who I am? In the field of live entertainment, I'm a god!
I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. Yeah.
Let me tell you something, you low-life, lying, four-flushing sack of shit.
I will tell you, this is going to be something special.
Just a show about nothing.
Hell, I like you.
What is this, ponderous, man? Ponderous, ponderous.
Yeah, ponderous. Ponderous. WMDX, Scott and Gordy, working that ponderous level.
Yes.
This is 92.7. You can also check us out on the Civic Media app and text us there or voice note us as well.
Yes, please do. Sunshine today. Looking beautiful this morning. Temperatures in the mid-60s. We'll get into the mid-80s this afternoon. This portion of the show brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison, family-owned and community-focused, helping people change their lives. Their number one goal isn't selling hearing aids. It's improving the quality of life through better hearing. Check them out. You can go to their website, madisonhearingaidcenter.com, take a hearing test, and get set up with Jim and Sarah. They will take care of you. Madison Hearing Aid Center.
All right, now let's get into the Wisconsin budget. I mean, this slipped under the radar. Shouldn't have. Mm. They actually agreed to something finally for once.
Right.
I think this is groundbreaking stuff. Now, I believe that Minority Leader Dianne Heselberg says that they have the votes in the Senate to help pass this budget.
Okay.
Because there are Democrats out there that won't vote for this, even though I really think let's take what we can get from these guys. I mean, when you look at what they're finally going to spend some money on, I think this is a really good thing. And the fact that the tax cut that they were so demanding is smaller than I thought it would be, and I'm really glad for that. Now, there's a surplus of about $1 billion in the state fund right now. So after they pass this, it'll be a $1 billion surplus yet, which is good. I mean, you're going to need that, especially after all the cuts on the federal level.
Yeah.
We're going to have to backfill a lot of those cuts because they're making states pay more for the programs that the federal government used to. But anyway, this is some of the details of this budget deal. It includes a $1.3 billion tax cut, as I mentioned, increased Medicaid funding, which is going to help backfill what the federal government is taking away. Mm-hmm. And unbelievably, a boost for the UW system, which is crazy. I mean, they were going to take all this money away.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they're going to put all of this money back in, which is fantastic.
Good.
The agreement still needs approval from the full legislature. That's going on today, where some of the Republican senators have expressed reservations, but forget it. Just vote for the damn thing. Let's get this over with. And as I mentioned, Governor Evers is good at doing this stuff. I mean, they're used to working against each other, and now they're kind of working with each other, which is a strange thing. So if they're starting to work together just a little bit, let's keep Governor Evers in there if we can. If he decides to run for re-election, and I hope he does. I know Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's Dan Schaefer, says, no, let's go for younger people. We do have qualified people to run. I just would prefer that Governor Evers stays in there, because I think Republicans want Evers in there to tamp down what the Republicans in the legislature want to do.
Well, could be. And
He's a moderate guy.
He said he would make a decision after they got this budget deal figured out. So who knows?
We'll see the full vote today in the legislature. And then of course, Governor Evers will look it all over, use his veto pen if he wants to use any of it in in this bill. But we'll see what happens on this. Of course, this marks a big shift in budget negotiations. They finally agreed to something. My God.
Yeah, right.
Pinch me. I must be dreaming.
Right. Exactly.
It includes the tax cut, but it also, let's see here, it would expand the state's second lowest tax bracket.
Okay.
Now, that's a big deal because the Republicans always wanted that tax cut to include up to $400,000 incomes.
Mm-hmm.
That is a little high, and that's why Governor Evers never approved the tax cut. Now, with the lower bracket, the second lowest bracket being expanded, mm-hmm. more people in the middle class
yep.
are going to get this tax cut.
Right.
But remember, anything, any tax cut at all, affects all people making money. So even the wealthy get this tax cut as well. So, you know, each bracket has its own tax cut.
Yeah.
Just to keep that in mind. Exemptions from retirement income from taxation. Creation, get this, of the film tax credit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a $5 million per year tax credit for getting companies in here, TV
yeah.
networks, movie studios
right.
to come in here and film,
mm-hmm.
and now they're going to get the actual tax credit for doing so. That's fantastic. They repealed it. We had it for a long time, and then
right.
they repealed it, but they brought it back. How about increased funds for Medicaid? And that'll help people stay on Medicaid rolls here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Again, backfilling because the Fed is going to cut some of that,
yeah.
the Fed percentage of it. The agreement increases the amount of hospitals get paid for the state to stay in business because of the Medicaid payments. Spending on child care, that has gone up to $300 million, which is incredible. Plus, by the way, $110 million directed toward payments to the child care providers themselves, which was really
Boy,
important.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were
care.
Just going to give it to the people
mm-hmm.
to send their children
right.
with that tax credit. But instead, you know, those individuals might not send their children to whatever, you know, preschool or not
daycare
preschool,
or
daycare
whatever.
Center.
Right.
And they would go out of business. So now the daycare center's providers will actually get some money.
Mm-hmm.
Cost of educating students with disabilities is also getting a shot in the arm, a good spending amount. And the state's public universities will receive, get this, $256 million boost over the next 2 years.
Wow.
And that also includes a tentative deal of more than $840 million for the UW campus building projects. Wow. I mean, that just, that's great stuff.
It is.
That is really
that's
good
terrific
stuff.
For the
yeah.
UW. Yeah, that's excellent.
So the budget looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were, maybe they were just in contrast trying to make it seem like they were going to do anything at all and
mm-hmm.
then surprise everybody when they finally got together and well, it works on me.
Yeah.
I'm ready
Big
to go.
Big thumbs
with it.
Up, huh?
Yeah.
That's
what I'm thinking.
Okay. Well, good. Yes.
All right.
Phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. You can always text us on the Civic Media app and send us a voice note. If you'd like to do that, you can chime in, 608-879-8255.
Now, the guy that won't go away is our former governor, Scott Walker.
You know,
he keeps coming out there and posting stuff on X.
What's he up to now?
And this time he posted this. Every Senate Democrat voted against requiring able-bodied working-age adults to work. Pathetic. And
what's he talking about?
Yeah, you know, they want Medicaid to include a work requirement. That's not why Medicaid was created by the Congress way back when. It was a health care program for
right.
the needy, for the poorest.
Right.
And that's why they created Medicaid. It wasn't to coerce people into working. And there are very few people that are just, you know, sitting on their couch watching TV or playing video games. That is such a stupid cliche that it makes me very angry when I think about it.
Mm.
But anyway, you know, this whole thing, you know, the courts have decided this too. They have decided that it is just a healthcare program. You can't
yes.
put stipulations and strings in it to make people work.
Especially if they're, you know, they're very ill or elderly.
Elderly and disabled.
Yes.
All of these people really need this. And plus, by the way, most of the people who do collect Medicaid money, food stamps, they're already working.
Right.
So they're just not working enough. And now they have this requirement of 80 hours a month working hours.
Really?
You have to work 80 hours a month or you don't get whatever it is, Medicaid or food stamps or health care. And that's a problem because that's like, $20 or 20 hours a week.
Yes.
And my son, who has a job, only works sometimes maybe 15 hours a week, sometimes 20, but it's not going to amount to 80 hours. So they suggest that if you don't get the 80 hours in, you know, put in some volunteer time. like you got time for that.
Okay.
That counts as well.
Oh.
It's almost like being in high school where, you know, you're required to put volunteer hours in. I don't know. Let's go to the phones here. We got Todd and Billy. What do you got, Todd or Billy?
Well, you know, I've noticed that I don't think Congress has a work requirement at all. Like, they don't have to work.
Apparently not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should.
Good point.
Yeah. We should take their health care away if they don't put in the hours. All right. Thanks, Todd or Billy. I appreciate it. Let's move on to Mark. Mark, what do you got for us this morning?
You had to bring Scott Walker up again, once again.
I'm sorry.
Wasn't he one of our younger governors? And let's remember that Scott Walker ignored infrastructure in Milwaukee County, and so the Donald Street garage collapsed and killed that kid. If, Scotty, is that kid still dead? I mean, it is just...
Well, yeah, as you remember, Mark, you know, he nearly bankrupted Milwaukee County as county executive. He was going to break parts of the county off and then give it to the state to manage. Do you remember this? This is and the worst part of it, the business community in Milwaukee knew this, and they kept it a secret during the election so people wouldn't base their vote on the fact that he was nearly bankrupting the county, which was just crazy. They justified it that way, and people accepted that as a justification.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, I talked to Tom Barrett himself and told him, you know, during that first campaign that he should use the McDonald Street garage collapse against Scotty Walker.
Hmm.
You know, not to mention this whole running his campaign from his county office.
Oh yes, yes.
All that worm managed to escape that nooses, and all his little staff that was doing the business for him in that office is just beyond me. And you're talking about Ronald Reagan before. I mean, that if only we had Ronald Reagan's compassion for the immigrants under this administration that we had under there, because he wanted to find a pathway to citizenship for those people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for those people. I mean, these are human beings. Are they going to stick them down in a gulag down in Florida that's just as bad as some of the stuff that they had over Nazi Germany when they had people out in the cold? Well, the cold is just the opposite of the heat, and the heat is just the opposite of the cold. It's just going to be just as miserable conditions there. Those guys should be ashamed of themselves. Anybody who was wearing those alligator Alcatraz and stuff should be, I don't know.
Definitely.
Get a swift kick in the ass.
I think throw something at them.
Really? Okay. Mark, thank you for that call.
All right, Mark.
We appreciate it. 608-879-8255. Back with more of John and Gordy. And coming up in just about 15 minutes, Mike McCabe returns. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Yeah.
WEX. John and Gordy in the morning in Madtown.
7:23, sunshine today. Highs in the mid-80s. It's going to be beautiful. Get out and enjoy it. Right now, mid-60s. Wake up and sleep better on a Burlow mattress. Lots have changed since they opened their doors in 1958. Some things have stayed the same, though, throughout their history. They're still direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two Madison locations, east and west. Go to verlo.com for more information.
All right. As a little note on the big bad budget, Senator Chris Murphy brought this up. He said, here's the latest, and it's hard to believe. In order to secure the last GOP votes, Republicans exempted from the nutrition cuts states with the highest level of errors in their food stamp program. They exempted them. Let it go. So the states that waste the most money get no cuts. There is a truly a double standard on the right, isn't there?
It's just mind-boggling once again.
It's crazy stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you know, healthcare is one of the biggest issues, I think, that we have here on this program. We bring it up all the time. If we just had a universal healthcare system in this country, we'd have, I think, a lot happier people in this country.
A lot less problems.
Yeah.
And a lot less lawsuits oh, my God.
Bankruptcies. Healthcare bankruptcies.
Yeah.
So, but we have the right kind of people in charge now.
Oh.
So, we're going back. Yesterday, I kind of goofed this thing up. But Dr. Oz, we're going to go back to Dr. Oz and what he has said. And I just want to kind of present this only because, you know, what they think is misuse, fraud, and whatever else, corruption, is really not that at all. It's just their opinion of programs they don't like. And we're going to get this from Dr. Oz about the reward of healthcare. Again, working, and if you work, the reward is health. How do they see if we had a universal plan, they couldn't coerce us,
right?
You'll get health care only if you work.
But
if we had it, then they'd have to think of another reason. And I want to know what that other reason is. All right, anyway, here is the first cut from Dr. Oz.
I'm surprised that the Senate has decided to completely depart from the House framework when it comes to Medicaid and the provider taxes. I was told we've got a fix on the provider tax issue. We're going to help rural hospitals. There's nothing in here for rural hospitals. In fact, what they're doing is lowering the provider tax to make it even worse. So it's like we're defunding rural hospitals.
So the Congressional Budget Office estimated that more than 10 million recipients would lose their Medicaid benefits from the House bill. The Senate bill, at least the one that just came out of committee, would go farther than that.
The plans that I've been asked to preside over, Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act exchanges in particular, are not stable programs. Medicaid spending has increased 50% in the last 5 years. And a major driver of that are the able-bodied individuals who joined the program, and half of which these individuals don't work, and many of them could work. I actually think work is a good thing in general, is if we allow able-bodied individuals on Medicaid to get a 90% match from the federal government, states game the system. We already know what happens when you take people off Medicaid. We just did it for the last 2 years. Under the Biden administration, if you give people a chance to work or volunteer, participate in your community, go get an education, or lose your insurance, they take the job.
All right. That's a lie. The research has proven that doesn't really happen. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. So I want to get to a list now. This is the next cut. This is the fraudulent list. This is what he thinks is bad, misuse, fraud. Let's listen to a part of it.
20%. One in five of the people who are on an Affordable Care Act exchanges are inappropriately on that program. One in five.
And what do you mean inappropriately?
Well, as I give you an example, there's no real adjudication of how much money you're making. So you can pick whatever plan you want to be in. The amount of reimbursement you get from the program is based on your income level.
Yes, that's
right. We also have about 230,000 people, we believe, who are mistakenly on, for example, Medicaid,
really?
Multiple states, but there's a much bigger number of people who are on Medicaid and the exchanges in the same state. Jake, we think there's $14 billion
you think that?
In those two categories right. alone. So if we're buying insurance
no proof.
People, and the American taxpayers, people watching this show, are paying extra money to appropriately get Americans who are needy to get the right insurance,
yeah.
but they're not supposed to have insurance. If they don't even know they have insurance because some broker
what?
Made up a, hey, free health care here sign, which literally happens, and then gets these folks.
They don't know they have health insurance. I tell
really?
You what, you know, filling out the forms, you know that you have health care. The people you talk to, you know, you talk to those people. You know that you went online, you filled out the forms. You know you have health care.
Right.
You're not sold by some salesman
some
at the
guy
door.
With a sign. Come on.
Hey, hey, I'm signing you up now, okay? See you later.
Doesn't work that way.
How do you get a check from them if you don't have all the information? You know, this is so ridiculous. You know, this is Dr. Oz. This is the healthcare system we have now. And now they're going to pollute all of the online information that you get about healthcare with their theories
mm-hmm.
and their conspiracies. That's what we're going to get. They're going to destroy what we know as healthcare in this country in the next 3.5 years. So there.
Just stand by.
Yeah.
Buckle down. Buckle up.
I got to relax.
Strap in. Yeah, just take a deep breath, John. Okay, we got to move on here, and it's the return of Mike McCabe next. He's back from Tanzania.
From the safari.
Yes, he's going to tell us all about it when we return with more of John and Gordy in the Morning.
Find out of the Magical Mystery Tour in just a few moments mm-hmm. with Mike McCabe.
Yes, we are.
This is WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning.
Bright, beautiful sunshine today. Highs in the mid-80s. Right now, 65 degrees. This portion of the show brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. They are at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison, helping people change their lives. Not just selling hearing aids, they're improving the quality of life through better hearing. They have fast and flexible appointments. Check out their excellent website, MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. You can take a free hearing test there to get you started, then set up an appointment. Madison Hearing Aid Center.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds fantastic.
Look who's back in the studio, John.
Yes, back from the safari. It is Mike McCabe. You can read all about it at Substack. It's a fantastic story. Amazing stuff. And I hope we encapsulate exactly what happened out there. I mean, this is almost like an expedition, right? Would you describe it as an expedition in Tanzania?
Yeah.
It was that.
Yes.
Yes.
How many people were on this trip with you?
Yeah.
There was a total of 6.
Okay.
And
it ended up only with 4, right?
Making stuff up now. No, they didn't lose anybody.
No, we didn't lose anybody. Everybody made it home safe. And I came home with a big smile on my face and just an absolutely buoyant mood. And that's what that continent does for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
But you described the people there had smiles on their faces all the time.
Oh, man.
Right,
and you know, I had experienced that before. I lived in West Africa for 2 years, and people smile more there than they do here, and they laugh more, and they sing and dance more there than they do here, but even compared to Mali, where I spent 2 years, Tanzanians are really, really upbeat about life, and it's an extremely poor country. Conditions are very, very harsh. Roads are poor. The economy, you know, the per capita income is something like $500 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's
wow.
That's
Jeez.
The.
And they're still smiling.
And that's the amazing thing. They're living on you know, more than a dollar a day, but not much more than a dollar a day. And yet yeah, they've got smiles on their faces as wide as the Serengeti.
Wow.
And not much technology around them, right? I mean, it was...
It, you know, compared to Mali, it's actually... It seemed like a pretty developed country.
It seemed
more prosperous and more advanced, partly because it's got a more temperate climate. So agriculturally, they're well out ahead. They can just grow more stuff. And they've got a very vibrant tourist economy, of course, because of all the wildlife in Tanzania and the national parks, and those game reserves are a magnet for travelers all around the world. So they've got more tourist income than a country like Mali. But still, this is a very, very poor country and conditions are harsh. And yet there's a lightness of mood, a lightheartedness.
A welcoming mood.
And a tremendously welcoming mood. One of the things I mentioned in the article I wrote for Substack is that they really do say Hakuna Matata a lot.
They really?
They do. You hear it constantly. Because whatever is going sideways or whatever, you know, whatever comes up that isn't quite right, when things fall apart, they like Hakuna Matata. Hakuna Matata. No worries.
No worries.
And so they've got troubles. They've got hardship, but they don't worry about it. They don't obsess over it. There's this lightheartedness that is really remarkable, and it's infectious.
Mm-hmm.
You end up feeling like, you know, all these problems that I obsess over are just not that big a deal. So their resilience, their unflappability in the face of hardship or turmoil is really a remarkable characteristic. So people think about going to a place like Tanzania to visit the game reserves, the national parks, and see all the wildlife. Mm-hmm. And that is stunning. The landscape is stunning. The diversity of wildlife is jaw-dropping. But to me, the thing that makes the most lasting imprint is the people.
Yeah.
And you know, the amazing thing is that we're talking about a region that spans only a few hundred miles, and there are 120 different ethnic groups living there.
Yikes.
What?
Really? 100, and they all have their own tribal languages. Yet the genius of the society there is that they've all accepted a common language, Swahili, that has enabled all of these different ethnic groups, all of these different tribes, to live harmoniously. And they're fiercely proud. They talk about it all the time, about how we've got 120 different ethnic groups, and yet we live peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
We live with each other, and so when they would always try to teach us words of their language, we traveled a fair amount with a guy from the Shaga tribe. We ran into a lot. We also interacted a lot with Maasai people. They didn't try to teach us Maasai, or they didn't try to teach us Shaga. They didn't try to teach us, you know, their own tribal language. They were trying to teach us Swahili.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
And because that's their common language, and it's what knits them together as a society. It's a tremendously diverse society, but yet also a really cohesive and unified one.
Just goes to show exactly how bad social media is to our psyche.
And I tell you, for 2 weeks, you know, all that hubbub on social media was an abstraction.
Yeah.
And all of the heartaches and all the troubles that we have here are just irrelevant there.
Yeah.
You know, they're not thinking about America's troubles. And, you know, we live in a really individualistic society, and it's so easy for us to become full of ourselves and think that the whole world revolves around us. It was an incredible, both an incredible experience, but also a blessing to realize that there, you know, I'm not at the center of their universe. We're Americans are not at the center of their universe. They really couldn't care less about what's going on here. They got their own problems, but then also, hey, Hakuna Matata.
No
worries.
No worries.
Well, how was the traveling, Mike? I mean, how long did it take you to get there?
Well,
first of all, because this is Southeast Africa, right? This is
Southeast
part of the continent.
It is. And so we flew to Amsterdam first and actually spent a couple of days in Amsterdam, which was a nice way to get more on the same in the same time zone. It's only an hour different than Tanzania. And had a wonderful time. Amsterdam's an incredible city, and we really enjoyed our stay, but it was brief. And then we got on another flight. So it's like 8 hours or mm-hmm. so to Amsterdam, and then it's another so nine to mm-hmm. Tanzania. So it's a long journey, and then the rest of it was overland, and the roads are not good.
No, they're all gravel roads.
Most of the roads, other than in we flew into Arusha, which is a fairly large city, and there are paved. There are paved thoroughfares there, but once you get out, it's almost all gravel roads, and it's this incredible washboard. You know, it's bone jarring as you go over these roads, and then you turn off onto these dirt paths, the gravel. Wow. You know, it's all unmarked too. I have no idea how these people find their way. They must be using they must be using landmarks. You know, the big baobab tree over there, and
the
then
big tree there, and then you turn left there, and
exactly because all these roads are unmarked, and yet they seem to know exactly where they were going, and then you get off onto these dirt paths, which are just cratered. You know, I can't describe them as potholes because they are craters, mm-hmm. and it's very deeply rutted and super dusty. But then it rained a time or two, and then it would turn to mud. And it was slick and greasy mud.
So tell us about the alligator pits. I mean, you must have seen a few of those.
We saw a crocodile or two.
Oh, you did? Really? Crocodiles? Yeah.
You know, because in any river there's hippos.
Yes.
Dozens and dozens and dozens of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw a lot of hippos. We saw a couple of crocs.
Quicksand? Did you have to avoid quicksand?
I fell into no quicksand. Hey, here's the amazing thing. When you're out there on the Serengeti, I kind of had this feeling like we would see the wildlife from a distance,
mm-hmm.
because you're right there in the midst of wild animals. We even stayed in a tented camp that was in the Serengeti. It was in the national park, and there are no fences around the camp.
Well, that's not good.
So animals just wander through. There was a lion that came through the camp. Yes.
What?
Yes, there were baboons through the camp, you're just part of that nature. But the first time we got really up close to a lion, that's really unnerving.
Yes.
But the Chaga man we were with, he said you can open the windows. You can, you know, you're in no danger. And he said, you know, if you've never been taught to cook, you don't know how to cook.
Mm.
These animals have never been taught to hunt anything in a vehicle. They've never been taught to hunt two-legged creatures. Mm. They have no interest in you. And indeed, we would be really close to this wildlife.
Yeah.
Cheetahs, leopards, lions. And
that's a rule that they're aware of, that they don't have to attack people.
They don't even care. And we saw some of them with kills, devouring animals that they had run down and killed. And there they are feeding on a carcass. And they had absolutely no interest. One of the funniest moments is our truck pulls up. And there's probably 20 some lions with, you know, mostly females mm-hmm. with cubs. And one of the lions decided that the shade of the truck was a really nice place to lay down, and laid right down by the tire.
Uh-oh.
Really?
And was within, you know, and my son actually poked his head out the window and took a selfie with this lion laying by the truck tire. And so after a few days, we kind of realized the animals have their own life.
Wow. Mm.
The parks are for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not for people. The people there don't have any desire to have dominion over those animals.
Mm.
They live in harmony with them. The Maasai herders are out there, mm-hmm. you know, driving their cattle and their goats and their sheep to pasture. When there are elephants and zebra and you know, lions and mm-hmm. leopards,
tigers and bears
out there among them. Yeah. So we have a really different relationship with wildlife here than they do there.
Kerr texted us a story here: lion kills businessman at luxury safari lodge.
Well,
it could definitely happen. It could definitely. But we literally we had a lion.
Mm.
It was sitting up on a ledge when we came into this camp, and during the night it apparently, you know, the staff had seen it pass through the camp.
Right, now, we have mountain lions here in our country, but they attack people. And we have grizzly bears that attack people, bears.
I can report that I was within 5 feet of a lion on multiple occasions and did not get attacked.
Wow.
Okay. Right.
Really? He's here. Yeah. Proof of that.
So, you know, I'm sure it happens. Yeah. It must happen occasionally. But they were really assuring us. Mm-hmm. You really don't. And you know, we went out on a hike in the Serengeti, amidst all these animals, and we went with a local. He happened to be Maasai, who had a gun.
Okay.
And he says, "I'm not going to shoot anything. I don't want you to be concerned. It's just for safety's sake.
Just for show.
An abundance of precaution. Okay. I'm not going to shoot the animals, and I'm not going to shoot you.
All right. We'll find out more what happened on that hike. And I want to ask about the food too. And
the crater. The crater filled with clouds.
Oh, yes.
That was a sight.
All that coming back with Mike McCabe on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX, John and Gordy. The early morning show. We'll get to our guest, Mike McCabe, in just a few moments in his Out of Africa story.
Mm-hmm. We have sunshine today and highs in the mid-80s. This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. You can wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. A lot has changed since 1958. Some things remain constant throughout Verlo's history. They're still direct to consumer and providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, 2 Madison locations, east and west. Go to verlo.com.
You have one of those adjustable bed frames, don't you, Mike?
He took a long trip to Africa, I think, right?
Well, now he's going to get an adjustable bed frame after sleeping on the ground or whatever
what were the
it
conditions
is.
Like?
No, these were big. These were big canvas tents, and they actually had beds in them.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Okay. And they were up on raised platforms. So
are they're permanent?
Yes. Okay. It's a permanent tented camp, and they are sprinkled throughout the national park there.
Now, tell us about the Cloud City or Cloud.
This
cloud
is fascinating.
Crater.
Yeah, it's a region called Ngorongoro, which is actually named for the sound of a cowbell. What the Maasai herders think of cowbell sounds like Ngorongoro, and they named this area. But there's this huge caldera, this huge area where a volcano blew the top off a mountain and left a huge bowl.
Yeah,
what they described it as, they said this is not rainforest, although it was very dense jungle at this spot. They said this is a cloud forest. It doesn't really rain so much as all of the plant
moisture.
Life just takes moisture from the clouds. And I woke up in the morning and that whole bowl was full of clouds. And it really gave you the sensation of this little patch of land that you're camping on was sort of suspended on the clouds. It was sort of like floating on the clouds. It was the darndest sight.
You mentioned that you had a similar kind of vision when you were a child, right?
I once, when I was a fairly small child, I imagined out loud what heaven must be like. I kind of envisioned lodging or a village up above the cloud in midair, and was kind of ruthlessly mocked by the adults in the room. but here I'm sitting at the age of 65. I'm sitting in this camp. Looking out over the rim of this crater, and I'm thinking, you know, is this heaven? Because it sure seems like we're floating on clouds here. And of course, the sun gets high, and the clouds eventually lift, and then the floor of the caldera opens up before your eyes, and it is just teeming with wildlife.
Wow!
Thousands and thousands of animals grazing, and then there will be these little Maasai villages, these clusters of huts with thatch roofs, and they're living amidst all that wildlife, driving their cows and their sheep and their goats to good pasture land.
Is it something like an Indiana Jones episode where it's just teeming with centipedes and large spiders?
Well, we did do a hike. We did do a hike in a, up the rim of a smaller crater. Mm-hmm. Ngorongoro crater is the huge one.
Yeah.
We did Almaty crater. And we went with a Maasai man, and every once in a while he would say, watch out, there are fire ants crossing the path.
Wow.
Make sure to step over them, or because if they get they bite like crazy. So and it did remind me of that Indiana Jones scene.
Oh, yeah.
And so there were these ginormous ants biting ants, and my wife did get bit by one.
Oh,
and
no.
But not by 1,000, which was good.
Yeah.
So what kind of food did you have in Tanzania?
We had all.
What are the McDonald's like there?
Burger King. No McDonald's. Not even in Arusha.
Really?
Which is where we flew into. Their staple food is called ugali. Which is basically a really thick paste or porridge made out of corn flour.
Okay.
And you dip it into a sauce that's made of tomatoes and onions and things like that. So that's what they eat kind of on the day to day. But they do raise a lot of cattle and sheep and goats. And so they eat a lot of meat. We rarely ate meat in Mali. They eat meat a lot in Tanzania. So we'd get various dishes, stews and various dishes with meat in it, some of the dishes almost had kind of a Western feel to them. Others were very typically African.
What's the dominant spice that they use in that area?
Oh gosh, I don't know. Not terribly spicy food, I have to say.
All right.
They do have this delicious bread. If you are a fan of Indian food, their bread is very much like naan bread that is in Indian cuisine. Just delicious.
Yeah.
So. And you mentioned banana beer.
Yeah, I got to try banana beer. It's a local brew.
Yeah. Good.
We were in a small village a large village.
Yeah.
But the Chaga tribe is known for its banana beer. They cut it with millet. So millet is kind of the grain that they use. Mm-hmm. And they
ferment that.
They ferment the bananas. Mm. They create sort of a banana paste and they ferment it.
Does it get rid of some of the banana flavor a little bit, kind of smooth it up?
It tastes like beer, but with a bit of a banana flavor. So it's a little sweeter than a beer you might you'd have here. But it was very. It had a lot of particulate matter in it.
Oh, good.
It wasn't.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
And so you had to kind of
pick it out from your teeth. You know, the Savannah Bananas should probably pick up on this thing.
Right. They should have banana beer at their ball game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Mike, fascinating. And if people want to find out more, they can check out your latest Substack article. It's really good.
Yeah.
Mike McCabe, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Great stuff. Thank you. All right.
Tomorrow on the show, Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. Also, we'll check in with Jim Santel, get the latest on whatever happened at the Supreme Court the last week or so.
Well, yeah, the Supreme Court, big decision in the state about abortions. Yeah. We're going to find out today.
Mm-hmm. That's going to do it for us. Stephanie Miller's next. Have a great day. So long.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.